You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Welcome to Desperate. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
And this week, we are going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 6, and it's called I Wish I Could Forget You, which might be the most relevant thing in our lives right now.
Oh my God, you're right. Wow, this is crazy.
We just had like a 30-minute like gossip sesh.
Yeah.
I'd call it a bitch. Maybe it was just a bitch fest.
You could say it was venting. Or we could call it constructive.
It was really like strategy work. We did some strategy work. We were writing out plans. There were things in quotation marks,
yeah, like,
to execute on certain things. There was a whiteboard. Well, welcome to Desperate. This you might not even know what this podcast is about yet. I'm sure that most of you have been listening for a while, but as always, we take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit the lovely ladies who live there, mm-hmm, the stars of Desperate Housewives, which was ABC's critically acclaimed show from 2004 to like 2013, I want to say.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it was a hit. It inspired lots of future television.
Oh, yeah. No, this is, like, important TV that for some reason people, like, don't talk about as much as they
really
should.
Really a time capsule as well.
It is.
So we've been enjoying it. We watched all of the first season. We basically, yeah, we're 6 episodes into season 2 now, but loving the ride. We take an episode. We talk about our own desperate deeds, mm-hmm, beforehand to get us warmed up. Then we watch the episode, recap it in great detail. Then we evaluate it on several different scales.
Yeah.
Just so we know where it stands, mm-hmm, in the universe of Wisteria Lane. Where were we last time? Episode 5.
Yes. So episode 5 was kind of an odd one. It's one of those rare, like, episodes where like Susan kind of had a random off story almost, it felt like.
You're my Lonnie.
Yeah. Like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, that was kind of a weird like episode to just throw in.
It was random because I don't think Lonnie's ever gonna come back.
But I mean, it was just like, we have a story for her. Like, we have a plot that's happening.
I mean, they can't find Zach too fast.
Yeah, they're like, throw in, and they brought in, like, Wallace Shawn, who's, like, a great actor, and they just, like, used him in such a weird way. It was, like, a fun story, but it definitely felt like something you'd see in, like, a later season of a show when they, yeah, run out of stories for someone.
He deserves better. Wallace Shawn deserved a better character than, yes, the schmoozy, like, book agent that used all of, he basically embezzled money from Susan, and he comes to her with his tail between his legs and says, Susan, I'm, mm-hmm, leaving the company. Come, yeah, with me. I'm starting my own. And she's like, well, why? And he was like, I may have like misused some funds. And she uses the word embezzlement. And he's like, that's not what it is. But it was. And yeah, the whole time Susan's like, did he take my money? Did he not take my personal money?
Mm-hmm.
Mike is the voice of reason. He's like, this guy is sketchy. Don't do it. And Susan's like, well, you've been in jail. Like, Susan's the worst. And then Susan does realize that it is sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wallace Shawn tries to kiss her. It's unwanted. And we will probably never see Lonnie again.
Yeah, no. I almost feel like, too, they could have saved it for later and made it an actual arc.
Yeah. Because,
like, her money got stolen. That's, like, there's a lot of meat there. There's could totally do
something
with that.
So, Susan, I thought it was cute. There were cute parts of it. Mm-hmm. I liked before Wallace Shawn was weird. You're my Lonnie.
I know.
You're Susie. And I was like, oh, that's cute. That's adorable. And then I'm like, oh, this is awkward.
But then it was just like a classic case of like a man preying on a woman's like kindness. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Really? But I'm like, I guess that's realistic.
And then Gabby is back and forth with the lawyer that, mm-hmm, she's trying to hire for Carlos, because Carlos takes one look at him and is like, nah. he sends the big dick energy. And he was like, I can't have this dude around my wife while I'm in prison. And then they have a peak group therapy session that I enjoyed. Gabby got so ratchet.
Yeah, she did.
On some people, she's wearing the Ariana Grande pony throughout the episode.
was rocking it too. I like that look on her.
And then the lawyer tells Carlos an elaborate story about how he wants to fuck Gabby, and he will if Carlos doesn't hire him. And so Carlos is like, I guess you're my lawyer.
Not even I guess. He's like, Gabby didn't want him at that point because she was like, what the fuck? And then Carlos was like, oh no, you're hiring him.
She's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, whatever, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then, we'll save Bree for last. Lynette had my favorite storyline ever, maybe of television. She's like going to the bars with Nina because she's trying to loosen her up. Nina, the uptight boss. And Nina becomes a bit clingy and is like, go get that guy for me. Because Lynette helps her out once and is like, you got it, girl. And then the next day is Nina's like, let's hit the bar every night.
Yeah.
And then they're at bars and she's like, Lynette, go get him. And Lynette's like, that's not how this works. Like,
yeah.
And I have a family. And then Nina is holding work over her head and all this shit. Like, and Lynette finally has enough of it. And she like does it's something uncanny and goes to the bathroom and like spruces up a frumpy outfit on the spot. It looks way hot. Dances with guys. Could have got fucked by like 10 different guys that night. Dances on the tabletop, twerks a little, all to piss Nina off, and it works.
Yeah, she manages it.
Never go to the bar again, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. Nina's like a very surprisingly like insecure woman, I guess.
Yeah, she like runs it, mm-hmm. you know, she's out there running it every day. And then in her real life,
she's like a miserable mess. I don't know.
Not as secure, I guess. And then Bree, you want to talk about Bree?
Yeah. So Bree's story was actually pretty, I liked it a lot. So she finally like goes to the police and is like, give me Rex's fucking body. Like, I'm going to sue you if you don't.
Please.
And so like the cop's like weirdly nice about it and gives like, lets her take Rex. And then like he shows up at the morgue. I get like, is it a morgue where she's picking up Rex's body?
I said it was the morgue. Like, I thought it was the morgue.
Or is it like a forensic, like, I don't fucking know.
Somewhere that a cop wanders out of.
Yeah. So he like shows up and basically like tells her about the note that Rex left about how he forgives her. And Bree is like, what the fuck? Like, she's so upset that he could believe that she would have poisoned him. So she like gets super pissed, takes the body, leaves. Before that happened, she and the girls had decided, like, she convinced them all to go to like Rex's reburial. So they all show up and it's like the messiest shit on the planet because Bree is like, I'm not gonna be buried with him. So she moves his ass to a whole different part of the
plot.
Yeah, moved it. Like, hardcore. And then she has, like, a full, like, fucking meltdown. Look at our Instagram page. You'll see a little snapshot of her veins popping. The craziest.
All the veins.
Yeah. And she literally, like, I don't know. But she throws her wedding ring in. And, like, that's kind of that on that with her situation. Like, her handling of Rex's death, I guess, for the time being.
Yeah. I have nothing to be forgiven for.
Yeah. Like, she loses it. And it's awesome. I love that.
2022. Yeah. That's my motto. I have nothing to be forgiven for.
Yeah.
All my veins popping out of my fucking neck. Yeah. It was a great episode. I thought really good. It was up there because episode 4 was very disappointing.
It just had no movement.
Yeah.
Really quick last episode, what? Paul comes back.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a brief moment. And, like, he's back in his house, but we don't really get a lot from him.
You get him opening some mail with a mail cutter that looks dangerous.
Yeah. And then the Applewhite family, they have a little bit of movement with, we even forgot. We didn't even want to talk about it.
I was thinking about it, but I also would have just skipped right into Desperate Deeds if you had brought it up.
I'm going to just say really quick. A man's arrested for the death of some girl in Chicago, and we see her writing a letter saying they have the wrong person. And we realize that, like, the person they have in the basement, I guess, is
the killer who seems to be a mentally disabled child.
Yeah.
So this is all types of fucked up that they are keeping a hostage.
Yeah.
Super SVU. Still, gotta say it every time. Gotta say it every time.
I will say, like, this storyline is, like, way more aggressively dark, in a way, than, like, the Mary Alice. I know it started with the suicide, but this is, like, you got mental illness thrown in there. You got murder. You got a person hostage
situation.
And I have to say, it is interesting that like the only black characters on this show, one of them is in chains in a fucking basement being held. I'm like, that is quite the visual. I'm just like, from a visual standpoint,
yeah,
that is very strange that they chose that.
Yeah, they chose a lot of weird things for the Applewhites. Yes. And Betty is always wearing a muumuu. You do not see her in anything but a fucking muumuu. No. It is not of the times, not even in 2005. Nobody was wearing garb like that. And it's, Matt is obviously like 35. Obviously, that actor is clearly old.
Which is like extra weird because the other like teen actors look like teens. So it's like he looks like twice their age.
He does. He's huge. He's hot.
Like he almost, he even looks older than John. And I kind of thought John looked a little old. So like,
John was pushing it. Yeah. That's why they jumped his age. They were like, there's no possible way that he is just 16.
Because they had to walk this weird tightrope of like, we have to find an actor that plausibly looks like a woman would fuck him, but like he also is a kid.
Like, had a lot of testosterone for like a 16-year-old to be having pecs like that.
Puberty fucking ran him over. Like it came in hot.
Ran him rugged.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a desperate deed ready to go.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have two. So this episode, I have one about him. And then our next episode, I have another. Like, my dad came to visit. And, like, he's a desperate, sad man sometimes. Fun as fuck. Like, get some wine in him. He's living. Like, yeah. Says some inappropriate shit, as all white men do sometimes. Yeah. And, like, Lord, that's for next time. I'll save the more inappropriate one for next time. But the most desperate thing I witnessed was, like, my dad is very frugal, like saves every penny. Yeah. I don't know for what anymore because he spends on nothing. He was staying in like a motel, like shit motel, Best Western. It was not quality, very sketchy. Mm-hmm. And I stayed on his couch both the nights. First night because I didn't have a choice. Second night because I was too drunk to figure out anywhere else to go. Mm-hmm. I had a hotel room somewhere else, I guess, but I stayed on this couch. I wake up on the morning of the first day and I like go work out. I like do my thing. He's still sleeping because he had a weed gummy for like the first time in his life the night before. And I come back from my workout and he is like washing his underwear in the sink of the motel. Like,
did he not bring enough underwear?
Yeah, he didn't bring enough underwear.
But I looked at first of all.
What?
The number one rule of packing is, like, everybody always overpacks underwear.
Underwear and socks.
Yes, always. You never want to not have... What?
So that's... I was like... Also, I looked at him and I said, why don't you just go buy more underwear? There's literally... We're not in the middle of nowhere. Like, you can go to a Target. You can go to Walmart. He was like, no, I don't need to do that. And these underwear were gross. Like... Just, like, they were on the edge of, like, you needed to throw them out anyway. I saw them. They were, like, thin. Like, his ass has sat, his non-ass, because we, Jordan and I looked at his ass a lot. There's nothing there. It's flat. Like, it goes from, like, back to ass.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got a back crack.
He has a back. It's so flat. It's like, he for sure has old man butt.
I don't even want to think about it. I'm like, oh, my God. Ah!
It's like the Sex of the City with the old man, but but either way, it was like thin. Like I saw the underwear, they were like thin, like he sat on it too many times. And I'm just like, the desperation of saving a few pennies for something that you're going to have to buy anyway was beyond me. And it's something only your parents can execute in a way that makes you question like who you are. Like, I was like, is this a glimpse into my future? Like, am I that frugal? Like, I would never do this. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
So that was so desperate. That's one. And the next episode, tune in for what else my dad did. That was like not to do with underwear next time, but just another desperate thing that I had that had my jaw on the floor. I was like, I don't know. I hope the Apple like fell across the yard, like not under the tree.
So I'm gonna stay on topic of like desperate dad deeds. So my dad, desperate frugal dad deeds. We had the money, right? He just
they always have frugal. The money.
Yeah. So we are in Hawaii and my dad was walking along the beach and then he was walking up on all these rocks and then like a big wave fucking slammed him. He had his phone in his pocket. So this was back like, I had an iPhone, but my dad still had a flip phone. Like, this was that weird transition where, like, people were still, like, buying flip phones.
Yeah.
Like, somewhat regularly. So, you remember how back then, I know it's a little different with phone contracts now, but you could, like, use an upgrade and get, like, just a big chunk of the phone cost taken off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my mom had an upgrade, and my dad used it to get a $20 flip phone. And I'm like... I looked at him and I was like, why did you do that?
Was your mom not pissed off?
She was so mad. She went to the, he didn't even tell her. She went to the Verizon account and she's like, I had an upgrade. Like, cause she was like kind of waiting for her phone to like slow down before she used it.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, well, I needed a new phone. And my mom's like, well, what phone did you order? And he's like, just the same one. And she looked at him and she's like, how much was that phone without the upgrade? He said, I think it was like $19.99. And she's like, a $20 bill? And he was like, yeah. And she's like, you know that same upgrade would have knocked $300 off a new phone for me. And
he like iPhones existed. Like,
yes. iPhones yes. Exist. And you know what my dad said to her? He goes, but it was free. I laughed really hard because it was funny for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, because you're not the person
I'm not the person
to.
Whose upgrade got snatched. But I was like, dad, what the fuck? And that's just, your story just like totally reminded me of that incident. And it was just like, what is going through dad's minds when it's, like, time to spend a few bucks? Like, underwear and a flip phone are, like, two of the cheapest things you can buy.
They're desperate to, like, save those few pennies. And I'm,
for
like...
For no good reason.
They, like, I did not learn how to live from my dad. Like, I could tell you that. Like, he's not out here living his life, like, having fun. Like, my dad, like, skips everything so he's safe. Like, he's the most boring person, like... Sorry, Dad. You're not boring. Like, you're fun as fuck, but, like...
Look, my dad's an accountant.
Like, you just... You don't, like, go on vacation. Like, my dad doesn't vacation.
I, like, cannot imagine him being, like...
Unless I facilitate it, we don't vacation.
Yeah.
It's weird. Because it's too much money. I shouldn't talk. I'm over here, like... I need to pay for my cat's food. I got kids to take care of.
Look, I get it. We got our kids too.
Like some months I'm like, I shouldn't have bought that. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what's worse, but it's a bit desperate with the underwear and a $20 phone. Like, tell us the worst thing that your dad has like not has done a desperate saving move for. Like, I want to know. Everybody's dad's done it.
Everybody. Oh, no. Yes. I know everybody has a story like that or yeah. in a similar vein. So please let us know what it is, because this is like straight up bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, I almost wanted to tell my dad, like, I would have paid for your phone. $20.
$20. That was a lot back then to us. Like, we didn't understand.
Even so, I'm like, 20 bucks? Like,
I would have spent that, because buying a phone back then was like $100 or $200 or more. I mean, if you wanted an iPhone, don't talk too much. I didn't have iPhones until I was like an adult and I could buy it. Until I had like
I
a
had
job,
to buy mine.
Basically.
I was 15 and I had to work all summer to buy that.
I didn't even have it until after college.
Really?
Yes. I went through all of college sending people green text messages and not knowing what that really meant. I still got laid, guys. Still got laid.
We have a friend whose girlfriend gave him an iPhone because she didn't like the green text.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it.
Depends how long we would be dating for, but I would do it.
Yeah.
No, like 6 months. Talk to me.
Yeah. I'd be like, it's time.
The most convenient holiday to gift give, like around a milestone, I would do it. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I got you a new phone. It's crazy. Like,
yeah. No, but I'm just like, I don't know, but green text all through college? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
And your girl was out
good
there.
Good stamina.
Out there. I had no problems. Maybe I should get a fucking Android.
Holy shit, we're having like a serious...
We've been talking about my bad luck, and Jordan, I think it started with the iPhone.
Oh my God.
They, like, get a girl with green text so you know it's real. That's what they're fucking saying.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. They're like, that's how we know she's down to earth.
She's not really about, like, social media and her phone. Like, yeah. Well, I hope that warmed you guys up. I don't. This isn't the dad episode.
I know. We had a dad episode,
I know,
actually,
we should have
recently.
Done it. Like I said, it's season 2, episode 6. I wish I could forget you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go watch that now. You can watch it, too, on Hulu or Amazon Prime.
Yep.
You can not watch, but we'll be right back after... We do that, and you know the drill. You better buckle the fuck up.
buckle up.
Can Lynette look the part for client meetings? Not without sacrifices. After a near-death experience, David takes a shot at love with Gabby. The deal is finally sealed between Bree and George. Susan's secrets are exposed to Mike, right as he was thinking of popping the big question. Paul's return causes a ruckus.
This was a wild episode of television.
Brace yourselves. No, like, this was, if you weren't buckled up, you got thrown out the vehicle.
These hills were rugged.
Yeah.
the tosses and turns, the exposition climax, all the way to the end was wild.
Yeah.
Every storyline.
Everybody had, well, most
maybe
of them.
Not Lynette, but she got bullied the fuck out of her.
Lynette's was, like, low-key, like almost like a class, like.
I felt, like, sorry for Lynette.
Me too. I was like, this is brutal.
So I wish I could never forget this episode. I wish I could forget you is wild. But we start off with George.
We do.
And it's gonna get yucky.
Mm-hmm.
I forewarn you all that there is, like, sexual content that is uncomfy.
There's an episode of Sex and the City called The Ick Factor, and I think that would be a really applicable,
yeah,
like, title for this,
yeah, episode. Oh my gosh, it's wild. So I wish my body had this type of response, though. I'll tell you how it opens.
When it knew something was wrong.
Like. Yeah, oh, it does. I just have IBS. It does, and I just ignore it.
No.
So George had never been lucky in love. The women he dated always came up with reasons not to consummate the relationship. That's a bad sign. And women just are constantly slamming the door in his face, and they're all coming up with reasons why. And I noted that these women are all too good for him. Like, how is he slamming down dates with these girls? Like, how is he making them happen? These girls were all too hot for him.
Yeah.
That it was weird. So, since he was seeing Bree, though, he couldn't help but feel like that was about to change because they're, like, making out all the time. Like, she's giving some major green lights, it seems. Not major, but, like, she's kissing him and down. She's like, mm-hmm. Come have dinner. Come hang out. Come, like, touch my boob, maybe. Yeah. I don't know what she said to him. But he comes in to her house because Bree answers the door. And she's like, the kids are gone. And that's code for, like, and if you have kids, it's like, that's code for we're going to bang.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he starts talking about this duck she made or some shit. And she's talking about that. George is eye-fucking her. He's just staring at her with a glare that's concerning. And she's like, what are you looking at? And he's like, your hair. And then he, like, pats it really lightly. Like, and then she gives him, like, the lightest kiss ever. Like, it just, like, I don't know if you guys heard that, but, like.
I'm like, did a mouse just kiss another mouse?
It was two ants kissing, like. It was so small. Mm. It was, like, less than a peck. And then George, like, jumps on top of her and, like, rumples her dress and, like, scratches her hair. It's, like, you're just, like, he didn't get the memo. He did, like, he's never, like, Andrew called it. He's never been with a woman. He has never, if that what he did.
He's a virgin. I absolutely.
10 out of 10 would bet money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that just happens, and Bree's like, wait, hang on, and she feels something weird on her neck, and George's like, that's just my tongue, and it sends further than most, I should have warned you, and I'm like, ew, gross. She's like, okay, whatever, and then she starts to itch her neck, and it's red as hell. It's red, it looks so painful, and she's literally allergic to him, is what I wrote. She breaks out in hives, her yeah. body responds, and she slams the door on him, just like all the other girls. So, though it was painful to hear, George had to admit that excuse was original, is what Mary Alice says.
Yeah. Which, like, to be fair, she has, like, physical evidence. Like, it's not like she's even really making it up if she has a fucking rash.
Yeah. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So, then we cut to the intro, and then It's a fact. Mary Alice comes in hot. It's a fact that little girls dream of their weddings. Of course, the same thing can be said about big girls, some of whom can get incredibly anxious while they wait for the boys in their lives to make those dreams come true. And Susan, you see a wedding dress and you're like, who could that be? It looks like Susan. No, it's Sophie. She's back. And Susan is fitting her wedding dress.
Yeah.
Which, like, go hire a tailor, but maybe Susan's really multi-talented.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's like a good homemaker in a weird way.
I guess.
She can't cook.
So I forget that she's employed all the time.
Yeah.
Forget it. Like,
last episode was a real eye-opener.
I was like, whoa, she has a contract? Like, people pay Susan to do something, but we can just roll right into Susan because that's like where we're starting at here.
Yeah.
So do you want to like kind of summarize what happens in their storyline?
Yeah. So I'll kind of go over it briefly because there is a lot, and then we'll dive back in,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, we'll pick it apart.
Yeah, so basically, she's helping her mom with the dress, and then they kind of, like, chastise Mike a little bit, and Mike's like, oh, I'm going to propose, just wait. And, like, everyone gets all excited and giddy. And then later, Susan discovers that, like, Paul's back and loses her fucking mind. It almost felt like a Broadway musical, the way this was staged.
They were about to break out in song and dancing. Yeah. There was going to be a flash mob. Like, the entire town, like, she's banging. Like, she might as well have banged pots and pans up and down the block. Being like, he's back! Everybody's swarming.
Totally. So she, like, gets everyone to kind of, like, follow her. And she calls the police and she tells them that she thinks that, like, she knows he killed Martha Huber. And then,
bold thing to call it about right away.
It was very aggressive. Yeah. And so, like, the police arrive and they want to know, like, why he should be arrested. So Susan goes to get Mike and everybody in the fucking neighborhood, I guess, follows her. And, the officer, like, basically asks Mike because, like, she knows that he has the journal. So they ask Mike for the journal and Mike's like, no, like, this didn't happen. Paul, like, never said any of that. Paul's not the killer, like, no way. And Susan's standing there like a fucking idiot, which I would be pissed off if I were her. But I also, if I were her, would have gone over to Mike's and been like, Paul's here, like, we should call the cops. Like, I don't know why. Like, she set herself up to be embarrassed. I don't know. This was way too
over like,
the top.
Paul? Paul who? I don't know Paul.
Yeah. that's Paul.
I never met a Paul in my life.
I've never even heard that name before.
That's a name?
Yeah. So Susan's like pretty upset and like the neighborhood just like goes back to what they were doing. Again, that scene truly felt like a Broadway show was about to start. And then later Susan and Mike talk about it and Mike's like, look, I have like an illegal gun. I'm on parole. Like if like this comes out, like they're going to know all that about me.
Yeah, he's like, I'm packing heat, bitch.
Yeah. And so she's like,
you burned out a house. Like you committed arson. Like,
yeah. So she's like understanding, but like not really. And the next day, Paul, like, shows up at Susan's house, and he's, like, asking her about Zach, and he, like, low-key threatens her with a fucking knife and scares the shit out of her. So she, and I don't know why she chose to do this. Like, this is honestly, like, I think stupid move, like, the most stupid move. She tells him, like, what she did about Zach.
Yeah.
She tells him, like, I gave him money to go to Utah. And so I don't know why she didn't think this would get back
to... Do you think she should have lied about it, like, longer, better...
I think she should have lied to Paul.
Yeah. She should have lied.
Like, honestly, the truth sounds just as made up as a lie would. So I'm like, why didn't she just lie? Why didn't she just say Zach ran away from her?
She can't, like, live with it. That's her personality. Like,
but, like, didn't she think it would... Like, okay, let's think for 1 second. Susan is trying to get Paul out of there, calls the cops, embarrasses the fuck out of him, and then tells him this big secret. Like, if I were Paul, fuck yeah, I'd go over and tell Mike and get revenge on Susan. Like, is she stupid? This is why I'm like, actions make no sense.
Yes.
So she like tells him and then Paul is like pissed, but like thanks her for telling him at least.
He's like, thanks for the info, bro.
Yeah. So then like later on, Mike confronts Paul and wants to know like why he's back. And he says that he was like looking for Zach, but he tells him that like Susan sent him away. And Mike immediately goes over to Susan's and demands like he basically like forces her to tell him what really happened. And she is, like, in her mother's dress.
Yeah, and he's like, I have a question for you. And Sophie, like, screams.
Yeah.
They think it's about to be the proposal.
Yeah, and this is, like, brutal. And he, like, Susan tries to explain herself, but, like, tells him that, yeah, she did
He was talking so much about Julie, is what she said.
Yeah. And Susan, so then Mike like storms out and Susan chases after him in the street in her dress. And he like gets in his truck and skirts right out of there. And she collapses in the street in the most dramatic possible way ever with a fucking wedding dress on. And all the other women, like Brie, Lynette, and Gabby, see her.
Everybody comes to her side. It was so crazy. Like, she's a maniac. Like,
that was, like, the most, like, unhinged. Like, it was so unhinged. Okay. And, like, Terry Hatcher has that, like, she, like Brie, they're both so thin that when they express any, like, big emotion, it looks like their body's going to explode.
They look like skeletons yes. with, like, little bits of wax paper on them. Like,
it's scary.
Wet wax paper.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, I was like, Susan versus Brie of, like, meltdown. I think Brie's was better, personally.
I think Brie's are more...
From, like, the last episode specifically with the, I have nothing to be forgiven for.
So, like, Susan... It looked a little pathetic.
Sad breakdown.
Yeah.
Brie looks like a bad bitch. She's he ain't being buried by me.
Brie takes her meltdown and uses it to fucking, like, get hers. Whereas Susan uses it as, like, she's, like, a total victim. Mm-hmm. Like, in both scenarios, they had all the other women with them. But, like, whereas Brie isn't, like, leaning on them, like, you know, that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Susan is, like... aggressively needing to be saved. And I get it. Like, it sucks. But same they both time. Went through some pretty tragic shit. I guess, like, if I were Susan, I understand. I don't know. If we could just... Let's start from the top, I guess, so we could dive in from
know.
There.
Well, I was just gonna say, the vibes of him leaving... We were just talking about how, like, when a guy... You're in a fight and a dude tries to leave. I'm leaving. And you want to front a little bit. You want to be like, okay...
And then you immediately regret doing
but,
that.
But, like, in reality, you're like, Susan, you're like, no. And I don't even have shame. I'm like, don't go. Please, yeah. I have Susan energy about that.
I mean, I've had that energy, too. I'm not saying that, like, not I haven't been crazy. There.
I'm not chasing after a dude in a wedding dress in the middle of the street. I'll walk to my front door.
Yeah.
That's as far as we go. And then so done.
I just feel like... I guess, like, Breeze was just more of, like, a powerful moment, like, taking back her power and, like...
Yeah, Susan is sad, and sulky, and, like, once again, she's playing a victim. Like, he was talking... Okay, you have a good excuse. He was talking about Julie, and you got scared. But that doesn't excuse that you still did something wrong. And you knew how much his son meant to him, and that's what Mike's pissed about. He's like, you knew how much my son meant to me.
I don't even think he's mad that she did that. I think she's mad that she lied about it and that she made it seem like she was helping him. She manipulated him. She tricked him.
Yeah.
And I think that is more... I mean, I don't know. I'm not in Mike's head, but like...
You're like, I can speak for Mike on behalf of Mike.
I guess watching it, I feel like... And I said this when the episode where, like, she sent Zach away. I was like, I feel like if she just talked to Mike about her fears and was like, if Zach's going to come back, like, we need to have a talk because I'm terrified about this situation with Julie.
Yeah.
Mike has always been very level-headed.
Mm-hmm. And he seems pretty, like, a pretty understanding dude.
Yes.
Like,
so that's why,
to
like,
deal with Susan day in and day out, you're a pretty understanding dude.
And I almost feel like, too, it's like, okay, Susan, you made this choice that you knew was going to backfire at some point. Like... She can't even, like, stand by her own, like, decision.
Yeah.
Like, she so quickly folds. And I'm like, okay, what was your plan, though? Like,
mm-hmm.
Zach would eventually... Okay, forget it. What if Zach just came back and then told Mike? Like, what in her mind?
She didn't think long-term.
No.
Susan's not a long-term thinker. She's not a thinking master, about like, Z when she's an A.
Like, Susan is definitely, I would say, like... the least intelligent, I think, of the four.
She's way impulsive. We could say that.
I think Gabby and Lynette are much better at manipulating situations to benefit themselves.
Gabby is a mastermind. No one compares.
No, yeah.
Lynette is runner-up.
I think, like, Lynette or Gabby benefits from the fact that she's a little more selfish. So yeah. she can lean into her manipulations better.
And I feel like Brie could, but, yeah, Susan's the dumbest. We learned from this storyline specifically. I think love that Paul is back. I actually didn't mind the movie musical scene. Like, they hired all these extras. That was fun.
I liked it. I thought it was funny. I was like, this is such an interesting, like, way to frame this.
And Paul is just hardcore gardening. He's like, I gotta get back to my garden. Yeah. Is the interview done? Like, he's like, I've been gone for 6 weeks and my hydrangeas look like shit. Like, yeah.
That, he's like, priority.
He was like out there putting in work. And yeah, I'm just happy he's back. Mm-hmm. So that's like my take. And there weren't many specific things from here that I can pull. They did use that Nissan truck a lot. Like, one of the conversations happens at his Nissan truck where I think he's telling her about, like, if you, if they have the journal, then they also know that you burned Edie's house down. And, like, I wasn't going to put you up for that. I got a Glock in here. Like, what are we going to do? It's all very, like, taking, all the conversations are not, like, a sit down. Yes, what Susan and Mike need is a sit down. Let's have a beer and, like, really fucking talk.
And not just, like, react to things.
Everything's reactionary. Like, she's running around. Like, she's at his window. She's at his door with all the neighbors behind him, like, trying to get proof. And it's just, like, Susan, like, fucking stop.
Susan, like, repeatedly in this episode and this season is setting herself up for every bad thing that keeps happening to her. And that's what's unfortunate. I'm like, you need to see that, like, what you're, how you're trying to handle these things is, like, so strange. Again, why the fuck did she tell Paul? I'm still just like, what, of all the times to lie, that was her time to do it. And I'm like, okay, so her story is, like, just as implausible as, like, any lie she could have made up. Why didn't she just say, like, the first thing that happened? When she tried to stop Zach and he ran away and she hasn't found him since. Like, that's the most plausible.
Yeah, because if he came back and he was like, this bitch gave me money for Utah, she could just be like, he's a little delusional.
Yeah.
We've seen. He's school shooter energy. Yeah. Mentality. Chill.
He's been in and out of, like, mental health institutions.
Yeah. Overall, not my favorite story line out of this episode.
But so it was very entertaining.
We'll go into, I think we should save Breeze for last, mm-hmm. because it's so icky that we can just hang on that one. Maybe Lynette's lighthearted. Lynette's very lighthearted.
Adventure.
Return of Nina.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what happened after Lynette was so strongly wing-woming Nina, Nina proceeded to bully her in front of the entire workplace.
Yeah.
About her outfits.
Yep.
So, and that's the whole gist of the storyline. It follows that. It's about Lynette trying to find a new outfit, buy new clothes, because she feels like it'll impress the clients, and all the things that go wrong while she's trying to do that.
Yeah.
So basically, they're in a pitch Monday morning. There's going to be a pitch, and Lynette's going to be the point person. And Nina goes, don't wear the green suit, though. And at first, I'm like, what the hell? And I thought she's going to say something like, the client hates green. Mm-hmm. But Lynette's like, okay, why? And everybody's like laughing, or like somebody laughs. And Nina's like, Stu, do you want to tell her why? And it's like, so, I would go home. I would not even go home. I'd go to the bathroom and cry.
Oh, I would be a wreck.
I'd probably cry on cue. I'd like be wiping tears like in the meeting room. Mm-hmm. I'm like a waterworks girl. Like, I'd cry. And so she's like, okay. And I wrote, are they bullying her? They're bullying her. And this just continues throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. And he imitates her at lunch. Stu imitates her at lunch with like baby vomit on her suit. That's like kind of what they're teasing her about. So it's super brutal. And she leaves that meeting with her head held high. I was very proud of Lynette.
Me too.
I would have been so hurt. And then next thing we see, Lynette's doing a sexy fashion show for Tom, and it's super cute. He loves this suit she's wearing. It's all white. It looks like something a middle-aged woman might get married in. You know, have you ever seen a wedding of like a 55-year-old?
It's like not that far off from what Carrie wore in the Sex and the City movie.
It's like skirt suit, pants suit thing. Yeah, so she's looking good. And then he looks at the price tag, and it's like $900 or something. And Tom is like, for fucking get it.
Yeah.
We want to have food and a vacation, maybe. Like, we could save this on other things. And I'm like, Tom, don't tell her where to spend her money. Mm-hmm. Like, she provides for you.
Yeah.
Lynette doesn't say anything like that, but, like, kind of. Yeah. Lynette is like, what the fuck? I make sacrifices. Because Tom goes into this big thing about, like, sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to sacrifice things when I was on the road, and, like, you.
Did he though?
I'm like, you were out getting margaritas. We have picture proof.
I was about to say, I feel like there are quite a few episodes about him like not doing that.
Yeah. Remember like everything that Lynette went through for you? And he keeps listing off things that are super expensive. And Tom's like, strip, take it off. And I was like, ooh, but it doesn't go anywhere. And Lynette's trying to make compromises. It's super cute. They have a couple of jokes. And then she's about to change. And she's like, being a parent is too expensive. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, life lesson, don't have kids. And she's like, can you step out a minute? I want to be with the dress for a while. So it's funny.
I respect that.
Then on the day of the presentation, Lynette goes in with a gray suit because she listened to Tom. Fucking Tom. And she sees how hot everyone else is, like all the chicks walking by. And then she still has the suit in her trunk. And she does the little, like, pop the tag. I'll just return this later.
Yeah.
But she misses the one on her skirt. And Nina at first compliments her suit. And she's like, wow, Lynette, like, really did it.
I almost feel like she was kind of, like,
Being snarky,
like, we bullied her into buying a suit.
Yeah, they
were. It's like they can't. It's like she can't fucking win. It's like either she's lame for her outfit or she's lame for letting their words get to her. I'm like, what?
Yeah, she said, who knew you cared so much about what I think? And it's like, you literally told me to buy a new suit. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had people at other jobs say, like, oh, the manager told me I should, like, buy some new clothes. Like, they're just not dressing professionally enough. And, like, that's a thing that happens, but they tell you nicely in their office privately. And then, like, you would just go dress nicer and you fucking do it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like, oh, who knew that you cared? Like, you literally told me.
I'm like, you shamed her in front of an entire room of people. Yeah,
you remember when you bullied her? Like, so, yeah, Lynette's like, Lynette is playing coy, too. She's like, I don't follow what you mean. Mm-hmm. And Nina, like, breaks it down. She's like, you have to get my snarky comment. Like, just then, either way, it's a stupid bathroom scene. And Nina doesn't really win, I wouldn't say, because Lynette is about to kill this presentation. But she does it with the tag out on her skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she lied to Nina and was like, oh, this little thing.
Yeah.
And then Nina's like, they make them with tags on both pieces now. Because Nina, not only, I thought she was going to go in for a chill save. She did not. She announces it to the entire client room and is like, Lynette here bought a new suit. And I guess she forgot to remove the tags or something.
You work in marketing. What would you do? Like, wouldn't a client be like, this is so weird?
Oh my God. The client would like fire you. They'd be like, unless they were evil spirited too. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to work with somebody.
But like, how unprofessional for her to like act like that. Like, I'd be like, what the fuck am I sitting here through?
Client presentations, my guiding light with those, you just say as little as possible and you agree with everything the client says.
Mm-hmm.
You try and guide them once in a while if they're totally off base. But if they're like, I love puppies, you're like, I do too.
Yeah.
And you're not like, this dumbass. Like, you're just like, we all put in team F. You're just like, oh my God, it was bad. It's bad luck. So she comes home to Tom in the suit, and like after this, I hope that they did well in that pitch. I hope it was worth it, Nina. But Tom is like, what the hell? And she's like, I'm going to take it back, but all this shit happened. And, you know, I kicked ass in the meeting though.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you so obsessed with it? And she's like, I'll explain mine, you explain yours. And she gives him some new golf clubs. Mm-hmm. And he's like, she says sacrifices or something like that. Like she says, sometimes we have to make sacrifices to be a better parent or something. He's like, I feel like a better parent already. So Tom and Lynette for the win again. I really liked it. I thought it was wholesome.
I thought it was a really like nice like refresher story, I guess. It's kind of nice to see a couple like have a happy ending in the episode. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, it felt nice.
Like, I didn't feel lacking. Like, yeah, it wasn't serious matter. It wasn't as dumb as like the head lice episode.
Yeah,
or like there's other misses where the subject matter was just so boring to me, but I felt like it was snarky and like sassy enough. It kept me engaged. I like the Tom and Lynette banter.
Yeah,
I thought they had good jokes. Like, it was fun to me.
No, it was funny, and I think like it was light, but you're right, it was well written. So it was like, it just felt, it didn't feel out of place, I guess. I just like, when you watch this episode, that storyline is like, compared to everybody else, like, they all had these huge, like, movements in their plots, I guess.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, you have to wonder, I guess, where, what they're doing with Lynette this season, like, where they're taking her. So I feel like we have a pretty clear path for all the other characters of where stuff's kind of going.
Yeah, I feel like I want something big to happen for Lynette, but I know it's going to be related to work and Nina because they're building up these microaggressions. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
I hate and love that word. Like, it's the most accurate word for some things, but I also just hate it because it's, like, overused in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But Nina's spitting a lot of microaggressions at this bitch. So,
oh, no, she totally is.
That's where we ended up. Loved it. Gabby has a fun, quirky, soapy storyline as well. There's gunshots involved.
This one's wild. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This starts at the courthouse. She's still pregnant, but we can't tell. And she's wearing a literal New Year's Eve club outfit is what I said.
Yeah.
She's wearing something I wore like 2 years ago to a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, and like David's like, you need to change. Like, please.
I told you to dress maternal. And she's like, I just decided not to do that. Like, and he says, we have 40 minutes, go home and change. Like, do you want your husband out of jail? You got to dress like your pregnant, suffering wife. And then some dude named Louis or Louise comes by and he needs a favor from David that David is not down to do.
Yeah.
Lift a restraining order. And he's like, you don't understand. I love her. And he's like, you have to love her from 50 yards away. Another good joke. Mm-hmm. And like, he just, they're going back and forth about this. And I think the girl was a prostitute in the end. Or a cashier or something. Like something that is, they're not in love. And she did need a restraining order, it sounds like. And David just called it like he sees it. And I did appreciate that. He just loses it. And he says, that's your problem. You're fucking creepy, Louise or Louis. Like, you're creepy. And what you call a conversation is harassment. And this is the lawyer I want to just, like, fucking say it. And he says, you want a show, get a hamster. And then Louise pulls a gun and tries to shoot David and misses every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this show is literally wild.
He uses like his briefcase as like a Captain America style shield.
He was moving the suitcase.
I'm like, what
around?
Is his briefcase made out of?
And then he threw Gabby out of the way first, should state that. And then he throws the gun at David and he's like, I'm going to come get you. Like, I'm going to get some bullets and then come after you. Like, David's threatening the guy now. And then a security guard comes around the corner and says David has a gun and is threatening somebody. The security guard shoots him.
That was insane. That was such a, like, I knew that was going to happen. But watching the scene, I was like, wow, they really fucking made you feel like things were okay. And then they just threw you for a loop.
I was like, if this is not the problem in America. I was like, this is so
hot
funny.
Mess. Freaking mess.
It was one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a while. It was so out there. It was out there in every respect. I loved every second of it. I was like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny to me. They went there. So next time we see a Gabby, she's still in a club outfit, just a different one. She's in a pink tube top now when she's seeing David at the hospital. These outfits are, her tits are about to pop out at any, like she, like I wear tube tops like that when I'm like going to the beach, like,
yeah,
take it off. Easy access. It's just
that's what that screams. Easy access. Easy,
like that's you up top. Easy access here, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to give him a card since he protected her from gunfire. And David's like, "You're my first visitor." And the office sent flowers with like a snarky card, and it said, "Who knew you could actually bleed?"
I know that shit was like really dark. I was like,
"Oh my gosh, he's great."
Yeah,
and then Gabby's like, you're not gonna eat, and he's like, I can't cut anything because like my arms. And so she cuts up his food and like gives it to him, and he's there's a lot of eye fucking happening this episode. So he eye fucks her from his bed, his hospital bed, and David thought he was going to die while he was waiting for the ambulance. He was scared, and she was like, of course you were. And he said, thanks for not making any jokes. And then she feeds him, and it's like a moment. It's a moment.
I'm like, what is she doing? Like, why would she dress like that and go feed him if she's not trying to fuck? I'm like,
if she had been wearing a sweater, I would have been like, this is fine. But the tube top with her hair done, like, she got ready. Like, I wonder what it's like to be, like, unemployed like that and you have like one major thing to do every day that you like make up for yourself. And this is what she did that day. She's like, oh, David's in the hospital. I have nothing else to do. I should go.
And I should dress like I want to fuck him.
I should dress like I want him to have easy access.
It was strange.
Oh my gosh. So they're eye fucking each other. It's a moment. Where is Carlos? Nobody knows. He's still in jail. And in the courtroom, again, we're finally in the courtroom, and the defense moves to dismiss the case, and then David stares at Gabby, because Gabby's like, you're going to dismiss the case, like, we're there, and he's like, I just can't, and I wrote, lol, I wrote, lol, I'm sorry. Yeah. He walks out of the courtroom, and he walks out and quits, and Gabby's like, what the fuck just happened to me? And he says, I'd love to get your husband out of jail, but I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this shit is so made up. Never happens. Never gonna happen. No. Anybody. I'm in love with you. And at the hospital, I felt something that was maybe there all along. When I look into your eyes, I know you feel it too. We belong together. These sound like borrows of a line, of a song. But if you... So Gabby's like, if you don't get back in there, I'm going to get a gun and shoot you myself.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't, baby. And walks off into the sunset.
He like blows her a kiss. Not really, but that's how it felt.
Should have.
Yeah.
Then they're talking to Carlos at jail. And Gabby has to be like, my beat ass defense attorney didn't come through for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should have fucked him. And she says, I know the timing was bad. How was I supposed to know he was going to take a bullet and fall in love with me? And Carlos blames her because that's how he is. And he said, go have sex with him. You want it so bad, yada, yada, yada. He's like, you whore, basically.
Yeah, he's like being so aggressive.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the gist of their conversation.
Yeah,
she's like, I could have let you rot in here, but I went and got you a good defense attorney. And they just argue, and Carlos... that basically goes away. And then Gabby, we see her next and you're like, wait, what? Like when you come in on her in this next scene, you're just confused because she said she wasn't going to fuck him. She's like, I'm a good wife. I only fuck young kids, like not old guys. Like Gabby is ready to fuck David. She calls him up and is like, come over. And he starts to undress. Like he doesn't even, he's not like, what's up? He's just like, oh, it's going down to pound town. And she says, ground rules, I'm not leaving my husband. And he says, that's cool. He's in prison for 8 years, so we good. And then he says, you could get him out and then divorce him. And she's like, not an option. I'm Catholic. And he said, what are the options? And she says, stolen moments. Carlos never needs to know. And isn't this what you wanted? And he's like, no, I want all of you. And she says, so then it's nothing. I don't know. They're going back and forth about divorce. I feel like my notes are not very clear. But basically, she's like, it's stolen moments. I'm not getting a divorce. And he ends up saying, like, that's fine. And then she's like, hang on. You're not really in love with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, you just want to fuck me.
She's like, this was all a test. And that's really what goes down. And she said, you agreed to an affair. This is lust meshed with PTSD. And I'll see you at court tomorrow at 10 a.m. or I'll say this was sexual harassment. I'm like, proof is in the pudding, where you were talking about how Gabby is the number one.
Oh, yeah. Smartest, this is a great example.
Best manipulator. She fucking did. She holds the sexual harassment, the false sexual harassment charge, which never do that anyone, please. Yeah. But also, like, if you're a manipulative bitch like this, you would. Like,
yeah.
So crazy. So that's where we end up there. By far, the courtroom gunshot, like, there's gunshots in a courthouse. We have not yet seen the courthouse, really, besides when John gets attacked. But, like, the hallways of the courthouse, I enjoyed the feeling of it. Like, I loved her slutty outfits, like, just ready for the club.
Yeah, she does not dress for the occasion. She dresses based on, I guess, what she wants.
It's wild. So this was up there for me of Gabby's, like, growing on me tons. I respect how evil she is deep down, and I wish I had it in me. I'm envious.
No, sometimes the shit she does, I'm like, whoa.
I'm like, if only I could be like, if only I could trick my lawyer into not having sex with me, really. But somebody you don't want to trick you, well, somebody you don't want tricking you into having sex with them is George.
Yeah, we're coming back full circle.
But he fucking tricks, he pulls a fast one on Bree, kind of. I don't know if it's a fast one. There's a lot of elements at play, you could say.
It felt very, like, he's manipulative. I would go as far as to say, like, he's totally manipulating her. I don't know, like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, he's tricking
right
her.
Up, he straight up drugged her.
Yeah, no, he's a literal monster.
So there is a date rape situation. So if that's triggering for you, now might be a time to fast forward a bit. But we're going to go through what happened. So she's back in therapy. And we're like, yes, girl, like, work on yourself. Your husband only just died. Just died.
Yeah.
Like a month ago. Like, mm-hmm. You're not even through 30 days. Like, 28. You haven't had another period. Like,
yeah.
So asking... He's asking Bree about the hives because she obviously broke it down for him. She's like, I was about to bang and my body full out, like, freaked out. And Bree is looking gorgeous, by the way. She's mm-hmm. been having a glow. I don't know if it's George or Rex just dying.
Not having Rex be, like, a total monster.
Not having Andrew around. Yeah. She says the hives were inconvenient and strange. The hives were inconvenient and strange. She thought they were going to bang. And he says, subconsciously, you're trying to sabotage this evening with George. And she's like, the subconscious is idiotic. And I'm like, this explains a lot about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't believe that there's a subconscious. I don't know if that's a school of thought or what, mm-hmm. but it's there. And I never have heard that anybody in my life say that until this television show. Maybe yeah. I'm behind. But I've never had somebody, I've never been on a date, and they're like, I don't believe in subconscious. And you're like, whoa, too woke for me.
Yeah.
So he says being with George didn't make you feel guilty, and maybe you felt like you're about to commit adultery. Like, is this resonating with you? And she's like, Rex is a corpse. You can't cheat on a corpse. And I love just how literal she is. And the doc is like noting, he's very suspicious of everything. And he's like, so you're feeling a little nervous. Like, you keep like petting that place where your ring used to be.
Yeah.
And she's like, so you think I'm crazy? And he's like, you don't just like get the hives for no reason. It's psychosomatic. And Bree's like, what the fuck ever. And they kind of end their session. But I learned the most I ever learned about Bree in this conversation. I'm like, it's all making sense.
Yeah.
So we see Bree again. She's still like petting that finger, just really rubbing it. And she looks at the empty side of her bed, and Bree calls George. He was just thinking of calling her. He was like, we can have sex because I got antihistamine, so that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. He didn't skip a beat. He says, remember, let's pick up where we left off.
Like, yeah, he's like, get naked now.
Too eager. He's like, I was just masturbating to you. Like, it's so crazy you called.
Mm-hmm.
And Bree says, great, about the antihistamines, not the fake masturbating. And how would you feel about the two of us checking into a nice romantic hotel tomorrow? George is like, I would love nothing more. Bree just tells him what the fuck to do. She says, like, make these arrangements. And he's like, on it. And he hangs up and is like, yes, with like the arm movement.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you would call that.
Little child.
Yes. And the whole episode continues, and I start at this point. I think I started at the beginning. I started, like, praying, doing some holy crosses, being like, please don't sleep with George. Please don't sleep with George. Please don't. Like, it's going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
Ruin your life. So they're at the hotel motel now. They check in. She says she's going to go antiquing, and there's this museum. It's, like, the driest activities that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, makes you dry anybody. It would make a fish dry. So the front desk guy is like, Mrs. Williams. And she's like, not the wife. And he thinks that she's a hooker. Like, you can tell. I thought that's what was going on.
Yeah.
The guy was really suspicious, right?
It was strange. I was like, why? First of all, we both worked at hotels. Like, no one acts that suspicious. Like, who gives a fuck?
Like, I'm not all like, you're not married.
Yeah, like what? Like,
I'm sorry, can you show me a marriage certificate?
That's how you get, like, fired. Like, what on earth?
I feel like I've looked back at my time where, you know, I worked at a nice hotel, too. And I'm like, there had to be, like, prostitutes checking in once in a while. Like, mm-hmm. there had to be people that hired sex anywhere, everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. No judgment. But this guy's very judgy. And they're getting the room, like, the keys. And Bree is, like, freaking out. Her hives mm-hmm. are acting up. And she changes her mind. She's like, we can't do this. And he's like, I bought antihistamines, though. Like, I have them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's psychosomatic. It's not going to help. She's like, I understand you're mad, but we really got to go. And I'm just starting to itch all over. And he's like, I'll get you your own room. We're not stopping this.
Yeah.
Because George thinks long term. Like, if Susan's only ever thinking about A, George is like double A. Like, he's got the next the iteration of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up going to dinner together. I think she's calmed down. Her hives disappeared immediately. And all George can, like, think about is the sex that he's not having. Because Bree's like, let's go horseback riding. Like, she's suggesting wet activities.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, eye fucking her. He can't touch her because he's thinking a rash is going to come on. But in his head, he's just all over it. So, George sees this other couple making out, and he, like, brings up the antihistamines yet again. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're not supposed to take these with alcohol. And he's like, well, you're not operating any heavy machinery, are you? And I'm like, please.
It's so, like, clearly pushy. I'm like, oh, please, Bree, please be smarter than this.
If he's saying that, it's probably not a good sign. Like, get out. Get out right then and there. If he's like, you're not doing anything big tonight. Like, take these. And she says, you're the pharmacist, so do you say it's okay? And they hold hands. And then Bree drinks that wine, takes that pill, and she is fucked up after that. And George looks like a real creep. And he is he's like carrying her up the stairs after this. Mm-hmm. And the dude sees and he doesn't stop. So this might be the problem with everybody ever. If you see something, say something. And he ends up getting up to his room, and he puts her down on the bed and starts to help her undress. And you immediately start to get nervous when you even see them in the room together,
because
she is so clearly out of her mind. And then she falls asleep.
Yeah.
And he whispers in her ear, I love you. And
it's all very like film noir almost. I'm like, what the heck?
And I'm like, he's so gross. Like, he's so gross. It's so gross and icky. And he says, I want more than anything for you to love me back. And she's knocked the fuck out. And then I say, OMG, does he rape her?
They almost imply it. I don't know, though.
I can't tell, but it's implied because he loosens his tie. That's what we cut out on. And I'm like, I'm wanting to vomit, like, at this moment. It's like, I watched an episode of the show Girls the other day on season 2. There's like a sexual assault situation that they depict. And like, I thought about it for the next day and a half. It was like so icky. And like, it's hard to like watch these things. Cause like, although in the Girls ones, they get pretty graphic, but this is just implied. It's just really hard to watch.
I mean, even if he didn't, like, he still kind of like drugged her knowing it would make her not able to like think clearly.
Like, how do you continue your relationship after that? You're like, I was like drugged, I'm supposed to trust him. And then Bree wakes up at like 3 a.m. and George is like just sitting there staring at her, and it's very uncomfortable. That's what why it's implied, because he's just chilling, and it's like, okay, so he didn't even leave. He wanted to make sure that she was okay, so he watched her sleep. And she says, did I snore? And he says, no, you were an angel. You were just so beautiful and peaceful. And I started to feel guilty that I gave you those pills. And I was like, oh,
yeah, like,
it's getting worse. These are trigger words. And she says, you could have slept next to me, which, yo, if I woke up and there was just some dude next to me after being drugged like this, I'd feel worse. He said, you made it very clear you don't want me in your bed. And she says, like, no, that's what you want from me, but I don't think I want the same. I kept getting those rashes. I still feel married. And he says, that makes sense. And she says, can't you just be patient? Can't you wait longer? And he says, I waited my whole life for you. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, chill out, dude. Like, we get that you're a virgin.
Yeah.
Or not, because I don't know what happened. But waited all my whole life for you. I can't wait more. There's not a guarantee that you'll ever be ready, and there's only so much rejection I can take. And he's saying it like a motherfucking psychopath. And he says, I'll do my best, but don't be surprised if one of these days you wake up and I'm not here.
And he's like totally taking advantage of like her grieving, though. It's like 6 weeks, 8 weeks now. Like, it's not enough time.
And there's like alarm bells going off. It's like, rrr, rrr, rrr. I'm like, oh my God, this is not okay. He's threatening her.
Yeah, I mean, and he knows that she's extra vulnerable right now. She's lonely right now. Like, yeah. Her husband's fucking dead. Her marriage was like a lie. And then, like, this man is like trying to be there, and it's like really conflicting for her.
Yeah, he's like, didn't you bury him last week? Like, what's the holdup?
Like, yeah. And, like, Bree, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. It's just fucked up. It's just fucked up for so many reasons. And, like, I just, it sucks because, like, we've all been there where we feel, like, vulnerable to people like that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. This is, like, clear depiction mm-hmm. of a lot. Like, not one. This is many situations for me. But we learn and we grow. And she says, oh, then he pulls the card of, like, I'm going to sleep. And Bree does what we do. Like, we just said it. We're not about to be like, yeah, bye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with a dude like this, you'd want to be like, okay, see you never. But, like, she does, like, what you would do. And you're like, no, don't go.
Yeah.
And then they have sex.
Which is shocking. I honestly, like, was so grossed out. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, the show clocks it. They fucked for, like, an hour and 15. Because then we see the clock again, and it's now, like, 4:15. And Bree is wide awake. Like, the kind of wide awake you are after you have sex with somebody you shouldn't have.
The kind of wide awake you are after you've done something that is, like, troubling your soul.
Oh, yeah. That was scarring. So she'll have something to talk to Dr. Goldfein about now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more stuff. So that's where it ends.
Yeah.
And sorry that was such a downer, everyone. But George is creepy. Bree deserves better. She shouldn't have fallen for that, but she's vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, she's not thinking straight. Her fucking husband, like, died. I thought she murdered him. Like, that's traumatizing.
Yeah. So very sad, and mm-hmm. I hope better things come for her. I hope George gets the hell out of her life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was not my fave thing mm-mm. to happen to Bree. No. But she's still a bad bitch.
Still love her.
Better things coming. Last but not least, we have Paul. We don't really see the Applewhites this ep.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Not at all. We miss the Moo-Moo.
Yeah.
So Paul is still out in this garden. He's very pissed that nobody watched his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Mariella says, weeds are a common annoyance in suburbia. No matter how hard we try to get rid of them, they seem to crop back up. And Paul is just mowing the lawn after being missing for 10 years. And the gals see, and Gabby and Bree are on the phone about it. And they're like, should we call the police? And that's what leads into Susan's storyline.
Yeah.
So that's all we see. I think Mike goes to talk to Paul, which is how he learns about the Susan stitch.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's not much Paul. So, sorry, that was a false alarm. But that's where they intertwine. So Paul is back.
Mm-hmm.
No Applewhites. And that's about it. The last scene, I believe, is just Susan running down the street in a wedding dress. And
Paul, it ends with them walking smirk. Out. Yeah.
And
Mariella, she, like, glares at him.
Yeah, Mariella says, every little girl dreams of a big white wedding, but some dreams just don't come true.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah. It's hardcore.
You're like, okay, we see you. We hear you. So, all in all, I'm feeling pretty good about this episode.
Me too. No, this was a banger.
Yeah. Should we do our classic? Fuck, Mary, Kill.
This one's easy for me.
Oh, shit. Okay. I might have to think for a minute, but you go.
I'll jump in. I mean, I'm going to kill George. Like, easy.
You're like, clearly. Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to marry Bree so I could save her. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to take good care of her, okay? And then I would fuck. Oh, this is the one that might be hard. There wasn't a lot of, like, fuckable moments in this episode.
Okay.
I guess. Ugh, I don't know. I think Lynette and Tom. Just because I liked...
I was thinking that. I was like, Tom, like, kind of being frugal, like, thinking about his fam, like...
And I
like
the way it resolved at the end.
So domestic.
I just like the way they handled everything this episode. Yeah. So I'm going to give them the fuck, but I'll marry Bree because someone needs to protect this poor woman.
Poor Bree.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to have to double down on killing George and resurrecting Rex, if I can do a resurrect. Resurrect him, bring him back to kill George with me. I'm going to, so double down on kill George. I will fuck David. I like that he took a bullet.
I just don't find him attractive.
Yeah, but I like that. I shouldn't put this out in the universe, but I do find him attractive, okay, as I've said in a couple episodes, but I like, enjoy, that fuckboy energy reminds me of my youth, and mm-hmm, it's attractive to me, so I like the stolen moments. I would fuck, that's yeah, what I would fuck him. I'd marry Tom. I like that he's just such a, like, level-headed dad. He's like, babe, we can't afford the suit, but it's okay if you get it.
I know,
like,
Tom's giving good vibes right now.
Yeah, it was
good. I like it.
Ooh, marry Tom. Marry Tom. Buy him the golf clubs. Watch him golf.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay, cute. And yeah, that's for me. Should we do our housewife of the week now?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give it to Gabby.
Yeah.
I feel like she manipulated the situation to the best of her ability without causing true harm or trauma to anybody.
Yeah, her way of handling the problem was actually really smart and worked really well, and I liked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a follow-up, but it's hard because Bree was just taken advantage of. Like, she had a fast one. It's hard for me to nominate her for housewife.
Mm-hmm.
Season, we're not even gonna talk about season. And then who's left after that? Lynette. Like, Lynette kind of was embarrassed. Like, she didn't do anything. I guess she got her way. She didn't have any, like, nothing happened with Lynette that I felt like she could be housewife.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I think Gabby definitely played it right and, like, handled the situation, which is more than we can say for the rest of the women.
Yeah, it was a struggle for everybody else.
Yeah.
And then our Apple rating.
Okay, I think I have mine.
Okay.
I'm all nervous. Right. Okay.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. 4.75. Oh, shit. You went higher.
I did. I decided to go higher this time. I
felt like we were missing the Apple Whites yet again. There was no Edie Carl, really. Like, Edie had some cameos to, like, mm-hmm, slam Susan down when she was around, like, you know, fucking everything up. No real drama with them. I feel like Paul was just intertwined. I want some, like, more exposition about Paul and, like, what's his game plan. And like you said, they weren't setting anything up for Lynette. Like, we can't really tell. It's just, like, it could have been a one-off. It was a good one-off, but, like, Lynette didn't, like, play into anything bigger.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, her story is just very one note this episode.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're like trying to set up like an ongoing plot with her and Nina, but they're not really doing any, like, they just kind of leave it. Like, last episode, it was like, all right, solved that problem. What's the next problem Nina can present?
Yeah, Nina is just proving to be problematic. And I'm like, are they going to be best friends in the end? Like, there seems to be nothing redeeming about Nina so far. Mm-hmm. Like, there's one thing if there's a frenemy like Edie that you set up, but there's like some redeeming qualities of Edie that you're like, okay, like, Edie's can be cool,
mm-hmm,
you know. And Nina, you're just like, she's horrible. And I think that it was lacking the Apple Whites. It was that one-off. I did thoroughly enjoy it. It gets such high marks for me because I just liked the tonality of it. It was just so fun and, like, campy and, like, just, I loved, mm-hmm, the weird courtroom scene, the gunfire, like, everything. The mob.
Yeah. The fucking, like, like, Beauty and the Beast style mob.
And Susan just, like, crying in the middle of the street at the end. I'm like, bad day, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, it rough was one. All good.
I think for me, like, I just found this episode really entertaining. And, yeah, like, all great. The storylines were, like, either fun or super interesting or, like, real thinkers. Like, this is a long episode because we had a lot to talk about. And, like, I don't know. I just felt, like, aside from the Apple Whites not being in there, I almost maybe feel like maybe the episode was better for it because they just break the rhythm sometimes. Like, it's like they got a shoehorn in this plot. And I'm like, I'd be interested in a whole ass show just about the Applewhites, but I just don't think it fits into this world.
Yeah, it's not necessarily. It's like that puzzle piece that like nearly fits. And then you are about to finish the puzzle and you're like, oh, I fucked up one thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Wait, no, that's not right. Like, but I'm enjoying them for what they are. I'm interested. I hope we get some resolution. They seem to be every other episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was high marks. I was thinking about 4.75, but we're up in the four, high fours. So yeah.
No, I mean, that's good scores for both of us. So I think overall we could say this is a top tier episode.
Yeah. So it was pretty desperate. It made me feel better. Jordan and I were both having quite the day before this.
Mm-hmm.
This made me feel better.
Yeah.
And we hope that we brought you some joy today as well. You know, whenever you're listening.
A smile to your face.
Yeah, but you made it through. Next week, we're going to be watching season 2, episode 7. I don't have the title offhand, but follow along. It's on Amazon or Hulu, and you don't even have to watch if you don't want to. We have plenty of content for you to just binge and listen.
And we actually do have like a bingeable content now. That's awesome.
Yeah, at this point.
That's cool. Like,
yeah, we made it. We out here. Mm-hmm. And we have our Instagram, which is pretty fun. We have 100 followers, which doesn't sound like a lot to any of you probably, but it's a big milestone for us.
We were the top podcast for multiple people on Spotify this year. Yeah. On our Spotify Wrapped.
We got that wrapped and we appreciate
it. Yes, that was really cool.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun to see that. You guys.
That was very exciting.
Thanks for sending.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're just happy that you're along for the ride. As always, we pretend to be generally happy people. But yeah, tune in next week. We drop on Mondays usually. And let us know what you're thinking. But as always, in your spare time, if you have any, know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.